Do you remember the picture of my son? It won a Pulitzer Prize. The picture of him lying dead on the sidewalk at Columbine High School. His name is Daniel. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. Did you know that the roots of the Columbine murders started back in 1967 when our Colorado lawmakers passed a law that allowed a baby to be put to death because her father was a criminal? In one evil law, they changed our country from a culture of life to a culture of death. Since that day, 50 million babies in this country have been killed through abortion. Will you stand with me? Will you stand in the place of just one of these victims? Join me as Colorado Right to Life presents the annual March for Life at the State Capitol, Saturday, January 21st at 1:30 p.m. I will share with you a story that few know. Join me, because abortion is always wrong.
One morning is truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And in a couple minutes, I'm going to get to a letter that one of the elders of our church received from a staff member at Focus on the Family, from Ross Marshall, on January 9th. Mr. Marshall wrote a letter to James Craddock, one of the elders of Denver Bible Church, regarding, well, indirectly, the presentation we gave there last spring, Focus on the Strategy, because James Craddock mailed a copy of the DVD titled Focus on the Strategy to James Dobson. And the letter we received back is anything but a form letter, and it's rather discouraging, stating that James Dobson will no longer abide by the pledge that he has made, that millions of Christians have heard, that he would never again vote for a politician willing to kill a single innocent child. So I'll read that letter to you, and we'll take your calls. We interviewed on Monday Peter Samuelson, president of America's oldest national pro-life organization, Americans United for Life, AUL. And he on the show supported, in fact, he called it moral when Samuel Alito, as a federal judge, voted to keep legal partial birth abortion, which all of us pro-lifers realize is brutal murder of an unborn child, a late-term child in the womb, being killed in such a brutal way. And Alito voted to keep that legal in New Jersey for process reasons. And I asked Peter Samuelson, is that murder? Is that murder? And is it immoral? And he argued that it was a moral decision. So we're going to be talking about those things, but first we'll take your calls at 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 800-836-9278. Okay, so in Boulder, Colorado, Brent, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing well, sir.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and I would like to thank you for the work that you're doing here in exposing our Christian leaders' faults in their views on this whole thing.
Well, the immorality, the willingness to compromise on thou shalt not murder as part of your political strategy, part of your legal strategy,
it won't work.
It's devastating. It will not work.
It will not work.
No.
Incrementalism in that sense will not get better. It will only lead you into darkness.
Well, Brent, I'm glad you said in that sense, because I think we pro-lifers, you know, the activists, the ones who've committed their lives to fighting abortion, I think we made a huge error 10 years ago or more when we started using the word incrementalism as what we're against, because there truly is nothing wrong with saving only one child when a million are going to die.
I agree.
The problem is violating thou shalt not murder.
To get there.
Compromising on basic morality is always wrong.
Right.
It's always wrong to do wrong. It doesn't matter if you're doing wrong so that good might come of it.
It's wrong.
You should read Romans and realize that It's bad.
Well, I got about seven verses here. I was reading the word today on my lunch break, and I came across this in Jeremiah 8, and my jaw dropped thinking about this conversation you had with Peter Samuelson.
Well, let me give a warning, Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, Brent, go ahead. What's this, Jeremiah 8?
Jeremiah 8, and it's a couple different verses from Jeremiah 8. First, it says, why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have given heed and listened, but they have not spoken aright. No man repents of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turns to his own course like a horse plunging headlong into battle. How can you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the false pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. Mm. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among the fallen. When I punish them, they shall be overthrown. We looked for peace, but no good came, for a time of healing on our nation, but behold, terror. For behold, I am sending among you serpents, adders which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. Hmm. I think that's a pretty good warning.
They say we have the law of the Lord, but they don't.
But they don't. They make the law of the Lord a lie.
Yeah, and what we're at a state in this stage of Christianity in America where allegiance to God and his word has been replaced. We've substituted for that allegiance to conservative politics, conservative Republican Party politics.
Absolutely.
And if we have a judge who's nominated by a Republican president who 20 years ago said he was pro-life, and although he's ruled for Planned Parenthood and the abortion side time and time and time again over 15 years, even upholding partial birth abortion, we defend his decision because it's consistent. It violates thou shalt not murder, but it's consistent with our political agenda and our legal philosophy, our judicial philosophy, so we defend the judge. Thank you, Brent.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, I appreciate the call. And before I get to this letter from Focus on the Family, it's on their letterhead, addressed to one of the elders of Denver Bible Church. We'll take another call from Greeley, Colorado. David, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. I'm studying to be a professional counselor, and I was wondering, does the government have the moral authority to compel a therapist to inform on a client in a private client relationship if the therapist feels that somebody's going to be a threat to the client?
Let's say someone says to you that they've committed a crime.
Okay.
In that case, you would have an obligation. If it's any kind of a serious crime, you'd have an obligation to report it because otherwise you could be an accomplice with knowledge of a crime and not reporting it, where I think today in the mindset – and in the therapist community is that they would not report the crime.
Well, specifically, if a crime had to be committed and the therapist gained from talking with the client that he might be dangerous to another person, he has not committed anything yet, is he therefore compelled to inform on the client?
Well, it's a little vague, David, what you're saying. If threats are made, if somebody says, I'm going to kill such and such a person, then you'd have a moral obligation to warn that person to report the threat. But then there's a huge range of, you know, statements and attitudes that cover the gamut of from just anger to threats. And so obviously judgment calls need to be made. But when there is a threat, when there is a credible threat, and you're concerned for the life of someone else their safety, then I think you'd have an obligation to warn them. Am I addressing what you're asking?
Exactly. And do you specifically know a biblical verse that would relate to that by chance?
Not offhand, but the first thing that comes to mind in a tangential way is when they're an accomplice or somebody who's trying to commit a crime but doesn't commit a crime. Let's see, somebody commits perjury and says, I saw so-and-so commit a murder. And in fact, they're lying. They didn't see that. Then God takes that very seriously and says, you should punish the perjurer as though he had committed the crime in question.
Right.
And so threats, even if they're not carried out, they're taken extremely seriously by God.
Okay.
Credible threats or attempted crime. If you attempt to commit a crime and you fail, you should be punished just as if you had accomplished the crime. So anyway, those are the biblical principles I could think of. And then also that we're called to love our neighbor and care for our neighbor. And, you know, if you're concerned about somebody in your family, a wife or a child who's going to be harmed, then the same concern should go out to your neighbor.
All right, great. Thanks. I appreciate it, Bob. Keep up the good work.
God bless you, David. Appreciate your call. And let's take one more call before we get to this letter from Focus on the Family. In Goshen, Indiana, Daryl, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. It almost seems like, you know, that pledge that they wouldn't support a candidate that would support even one abortion?
Would kill a single innocent child, James Dobson's pledge.
Innocent child.
Right.
It almost seems like they're not even willing to hold candidates accountable to save even one.
Hmm. With Samuel Alito, he's ruled time and time and time again as a federal judge who supposedly was a pro-lifer 20 years ago. He gets on the federal judge and he hardly could find a case that he can't rule in favor of Planned Parenthood. Let me quickly run down just part of his pro-abortion history as a federal judge. And Daryl, feel free to comment on these. This is Samuel Alito, who George W. Bush has now nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court, and James Dobson, along with most of our national Christian leadership, pro-life Christian leadership, they're lobbying for Samuel Alito to be confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in 1995, Alito voted to keep it easy to get a tax-funded abortion by claiming rape even when there's no police report. So you could have tax money go to pay to kill a child if a woman says she was raped and there's not even a crime reported to the police. That was in 95. In 97, Alito, so right there, would you call that a narrowly pro-choice ruling, or would you call that an extremist, a pro-abortion extremist ruling?
Well, it's an extremist position. I would ask the question of Alito, if you won't protect that life, which life will you protect?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point, because clearly Samuel Alito does not believe that an unborn child has a right to life and that killing that innocent unborn child is murder. He doesn't believe that.
No.
He has way greater allegiance to process than he has to thou shall not murder.
It sure seems like
our Christian leaders today, they are ashamed of someone who says that our judges should have an allegiance to God. And the reason they're ashamed of such a statement made in public is because they have elevated the Constitution above God and his revealed word. And so allegiance to the Constitution has to go without question. We can never compromise on the Constitution, but we can compromise on do not murder. By the way, our phone number.
Absolutely true.
By the way, I'll give out our phone number again, 800-836-9278. So in 1997, Samuel Alito voted to prevent parents from suing for the wrongful death of their unborn child. So if you have a criminal committing a crime or a doctor with malpractice, gross negligence, and the unborn baby dies, Samuel Alito voted that the parents can't even sue for wrongful death. Now, is that just a marginally pro-choice ruling, or is that an extremist pro-abortion decision? Darryl?
Absolutely extremist.
It's extremist. Plenty of pro-choice people, including governors, state legislators, judges, lawyers, say, well, even though I'm pro-choice, if you kill an unborn child through wrongdoing, you could be held accountable. Samuel Alito couldn't find it in his pro-life heart to allow parents to sue for the wrongful death of an unborn child. In the year 2000, Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. Now, is that just a pro-choice? Now, pro-choice is murder. Killing any unborn child intentionally, that's murder. When that's your goal, to kill the child, that's murder. Partial birth abortion is simply the most egregious because it's most obvious, because the child is far along in development, it's late in the pregnancy, and the brutal way they deliver the baby before the head comes out, and then they stop and they kill the baby by stabbing him in the back of the neck and putting a suction tube into his brain, sucking out his brain. I mean, it's just brutal murder of a child. And Alito, Samuel Alito, the current hero of the Christian pro-life leadership in America, he voted to keep partial birth abortion legal. And is that a merely pro-choice ruling, or is that an extremist pro-abortion decision?
It's about as far off to the left as you can get.
Yeah, it is.
It's an extreme position.
Yeah, and then in 2004, a Chinese man fled China because his wife was pregnant without permission of the Chinese government. They wanted to do a forced abortion on her. She was in hiding. He fled. They found her. They killed their unborn child. And so the man was trying to stay in America, and Alito could not find it in the pro-life heart of his to give this Chinese father asylum and forced him to go back to China, where, you know, obviously he's going to experience some kind of repercussions because of the embarrassment he put the Chinese government through. So, yeah, Alito has issued in 15 years consistently voting on the pro-abortion side of issue after issue after issue. All right, Darryl, anything else?
Well, I would just say, I would ask the question, has President Bush ever made a commitment to save even one baby?
No. No. In fact, he's made it very clear that when he nominates judges, he does not consider abortion as an issue. And when he was asked, what if your daughter was raped and pregnant? And he said, well, I would tell her, honey, we love you. We stand by you. And of course, it's your choice. That's what he said. Now, that's pro-choice. That's not pro-life. Pro-life would be, honey, we love you. We're so sorry. And we will help you with this child if you want to adopt out the child. If you want to care for it and raise it, we love you. And we will help you take care of this baby. That's pro-life. Pro-choice is to say to your daughter, you have a baby now. And if you kill it, we support you killing the baby. It's your choice. That's pro-choice. George W. Bush is pro-choice, and he lies to Christians who are gullible. George W. Bush is proud of the pro-abortion judges that he packed the Texas courts with. He is proud.
He sure seems to be.
Yeah, he's proud of the pro-abortion judges he has nominated. His first campaign promise running for president is that he would not consider abortion when nominating judges. And he's done a great job of that so far. All right, Darryl.
Thanks, Bob.
God bless you. I appreciate that. Okay, so here's this letter, and it's devastating. And it's so, I mean, the timing following on the interview we just had with Peter Samuelson of AUL, Americans United for Life, who said that when Samuel Alito, this is the president of the nation's oldest national pro-life organization, AUL. And Peter Samuelson said that when Samuel Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion as a federal judge, that decision of his, I asked, isn't that immoral to do that? And he said, no, that was a moral decision. How could it be moral? It violates thou shalt not murder. authorizes people with the authority of that federal judge to kill their late-term children in the most brutal way, no less. And, well, it's moral because it follows the process. So the process supersedes thou shalt not murder. And that is coming down from on high. I don't mean God, but from our Christian leadership in America. So James Dobson famously made a pledge, famously in Washington, D.C., in front of hundreds of thousands of cheering Christians. And his pledge was that, and we include it in our DVD, Focus on the Strategy. Hundreds of these have gone out all over the country. And if you haven't seen it, please, if you can't afford it, we'll send you one. But they're so cheap. What are they? Three for $20, 10 for $50, and $25 for $100. 25 DVDs so you could spread them around for $100. And in there, we show the video of James Dobson saying that for as long as God lets me live on this earth, I will never again vote for a candidate who's willing to kill a single innocent child. And I remember being on the air when he made that pledge and being devastated. And he put it in writing, too. And I remember being devastated that he had to make that pledge, that he had to use the words never again, as though he would knowingly support a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child. Because when you compromise on thou shalt not murder, where's the logical place to stop compromising? Where? So just watch when these guys end up wrestling with supporting Rudy Giuliani because he's the only hope against Hillary Clinton, when Giuliani supports partial birth abortion. Hey, why not? We've predicted they're going to do that, and they're doing it with Alito, who voted to uphold partial birth abortion. So here's the letter, January 9th, 2006, addressed to Mr. James Craddock, one of the elders of Denver Bible Church, on Focus on the Family letterhead. Dear Mr. Craddock, greetings from Focus on the Family, and thank you for sending us a copy of Bob Benyard's letter and DVD titled Focus on the Strategy. We apologize for the delay in our response. Mail volumes, of course, that's fine. I'm pleased to have the opportunity to get back to you on behalf of our staff. So Ross Marshall, I'm not sure what his title is at Focus on the Family, but he's representing not only himself, but Focus on the Family and on behalf of the staff of the organization. So we take it this is an official statement. Though it would be difficult to address every point that Mr. Enyart makes in the DVD, we would like to comment on a couple of key issues. As Mr. Enyart stated, it is true that Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions, you know what, we're going to scan this and we'll put this on KGov, on the internet at kgov.com, along with the other material we already have there on this issue. As Mr. Enyart stated, it is true that Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions that he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. Recently, however, there have been times that he felt he was faced with the necessity of making a difficult but inescapable choice between two or more major candidates. And so the letter goes on, and I'll continue to read it, but it goes on to justify James Dobson deciding to break his pledge, because it's true that James Dobson has on previous occasions said that he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion, but recently things have been really much more important, more crucial, and now Dr. James Dobson realizes that from time to time you have to support those who advocate killing innocent children. Why? It's a political necessity. You know, we're against the terrorists because they're willing to kill the innocent for their political goals. It's because it's consistent with their legal philosophy, their judicial philosophy, their Shia law they think gives them authority to kill the innocent. And we're against that. And we tried German judges and lawyers because they killed the innocent. And they said, yeah, but our political process and our laws, we're just following the law. We're just following the process. We're just following the Supreme Court. In Germany, they were following the Supreme Judge. And we found those judges and lawyers guilty at Nuremberg. And we even executed lawyers whose defense was we were following the law. We didn't even like the law. We didn't agree with the law, but we were following the law. Because if we didn't, there were worse men who would have taken our place. You know what we did with judges like that? We convicted them of murder because they knowingly killed the innocent. And now our greatest Christian leaders have abandoned allegiance to thou shalt not murder and to achieve political goals and to be consistent with their judicial philosophy, they're willing to compromise on thou shalt not murder. And when you compromise on thou shalt not murder, where is it you will not compromise? And we know the answer. Where they will not compromise is on conservative politics. That they will not compromise on, but they will compromise on thou shalt not murder. So Mr. Enyart stated, it is true, writes Ross Marshall of Focus on the Family, January 9th, 2006, 10 days ago today. As Mr. Enyart stated, it is true that Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions that he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. Recently, however, two of the saddest words, huh? Recently, however, as though that position was so moral that it would hurt children in America. That position was so righteous, it was so consistent with thou shalt not murder, that it would surely lead to our defeat. So even though Dr. Dobson had made a pledge to uphold God's command, thou shalt not murder, recently, however, see, this is like, you know, relativism. Hey, God said thou shalt not murder, but I'm going to support politicians who will murder some innocent children because, relatively speaking, my political goals require this of me right now. And Peter Samuelson, the president of Americans United for Life, he said, look, we got to do this because of political considerations. And this is the process. And so our allegiance has been turned from God and thou shalt not murder to the process and to politics. So recently, however, there have been times that Dr. Dobson felt he was faced with the necessity of making a difficult but inescapable choice. Now, that's a lie, right? You can't lie to yourself. An inescapable choice. If somebody says, who are you going to support, Judas or Herod? That's not an inescapable choice. That's a false dichotomy. Who are you going to vote for, Hitler or Stalin? Well, let's see. Stalin killed 20 million, so I'll support Hitler. We'll finish this tomorrow. And in the meantime, Maranatha Christian Center, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out in Arvada, Maranatha Christian Center.